Good morning, everybody. I am Ryan Heiniger. I'm the official variety testing director out of North Carolina State. And I'm going to talk to you today about some freeze injury phenotypes and what we found in our work this year during a freeze event that Mr. Bauckham talked about earlier, what those specific phenotypes mean for our yields that we were seeing. Andrew did a really good job of kind of describing the type of freeze we had and the overall implications as far as overall yield, what we were estimating, what the actual yield was, but we wanted to start drilling down even further and start looking at specific phenotypes, specific freeze phenotypes they had mentioned, and what the impact of each one of those phenotypes were on the resulting yield for the season. So as a quick background to kind of set the stage for what our crop was this last year, this is what we typically see with wheat growth stage in early March. Now, we will get freezes in North Carolina all the way through to as late as early April. So it's not a surprise that for us to get a freeze in March. But typically that freeze encounters wheat that's at a greatly reduced growth stage versus what we saw this year. So normally, and you see it in red here, we're anywhere from about Zeke's 25, 20 to 25, to just getting to jointing on a lot of our varieties. Typically, top dress time for us in North Carolina is that first couple weeks in March. The reason for that, and I'm showing here in this graph, is an average of daily temperatures on a monthly basis from October all the way through February for the last 4 years. So this is 2013 all the way through this year in 2017. So you see in October we're generally warm, get our wheat in, planted. Temperatures start coming down in November. We typically stop planting about the end of November on average. Cold in December and January and February to kind of really get vernalized, and then we start coming out in March. We start jointing off. The difference this year was that if you look at the last two bars, so the yellow bar is 2016 and 2017, on average for January we were 5 degrees Fahrenheit higher for the month than we were the previous three, and then in February we were 9 degrees on average higher for temperature than we were for the previous 3 months in February. So we were really, really warm. That kickstarted our wheat, especially that wheat that had vernalized in the colder November and December. Kickstarter wheat started to joint. So this is a quick snapshot. I went out to one of our OBT locations, did a ZADAC snapshot of all the varieties at that location. So we have two tests. We have a commercial test and experimental test. Between those two tests, we have about 100 varieties. I did a snapshot of all of those, and this is the result on March 15th, so right during in the middle of the freeze event that we were having. And you can see the range of ZADAC stages that we're looking at. Number of varieties in each ZADOC stage is in the bars. Our staging is pushed. We're a lot later on than what we normally typically would be on average, anywhere from the majority being 33 to 39 ZADOC stage. So what does that look like compared to what we're normally looking at? Red bar is what our normal is. This black bar that I just put up there is kind of the range that we are seeing. So again, it's not surprising we had a freeze in March. It's surprising because of how advanced our wheat was at that time of the freeze. What did that freeze look like? Well, these bars here show the total number of hours, either below 32 degrees, below 28 degrees, and below 24 degrees. Obviously, all locations experienced some degree of freeze across all of our OBT locations. However, Union and Rowan, the two that Mr. Bauckham kind of focused on, were the ones that were hit the worst. They experienced the highest number of hours below 24 degrees. And why do I mention 24? Why is that an important number? Well, again, a lot of the information we have on freeze damage and the resulting yield comes from this Kansas State publication. What we're looking at here for our wheat is anywhere from the starting to joint to jointing, and really we're almost in the boot for some of our varieties, some of our earlier varieties. So we're a wide range on this graph, and what does that mean? What does Kansas State say about that? Well, you're anywhere from a moderate to a severe damage type. Andrew mentioned stem damage in his talk. When they talk about stem damage, they're talking about it more in terms of lodging than anything else. But here, going from jointing all the way to boot, you know, you want to be above 24 degrees Fahrenheit, you want to be above 28 for boot. We are definitely below those at both Union and Rowan. So what time of damage were we looking at? Typical damage, at least for North Carolina. We start heading out in late March, we get a freeze, we get blanking of the heads. This is not what we were seeing with this freeze. We're not quite to that heading level for a lot of these varieties. Instead, what we're looking at a lot of stem damage, so discoloration of the lower nodes, splitting of those nodes. Discoloration ranged from all the way through the node to just partial node discoloration, and then flag leaf damage. So for some of those that were more advanced, flag leaves yellowed necrosed inside the stem. So we wanted to look at this. We wanted to see, can we phenotype these specific freeze injuries that we're seeing while we were scouting these fields? And can we assign a yield level to these freeze damage types? So we went out, looked at the Zadox snapshot that I showed you before, and said we want everything from a very advanced wheat line to a very still fairly early on in its growth development. So these are the 10 lines or 9 lines we selected. We selected 10, but one didn't work out for us. All the way from a Zadox 45 to a Zadox 31. Went to the two OVT locations that were worst affected, Rowan County and Union County. In our OVT testing, we have 5 foot wide by 20 foot long plots. We took half of that plot and we marked within each half 10 individual plants corresponding to the primary tillers. So random sampling of primary tillers, a random sampling of secondary, 10 healthy tillers per variety, 10 stem damage tillers per variety, and 10 flag leaf damage tillers per variety. So we marked those after the freeze because we could see the freeze phenotypes, kept the marks out there until June, right before we harvested them with our combine, and we individually picked those out of those plots. So I'm going to tell you right now, do not use white or yellow if you're trying to identify your marks at harvest time. Not going to be a good scene for you. So we picked those out, we collected them, and then we took them back, single plant threshed them, and started collecting data on not only viable heads, total number of viable heads in the 10 that we selected, but number of kernels per head and 1,000 kernel weight in grams for the grain that we did collect. So this is a kind of a sampling of what we pulled out of the field. I'll tell you right now, if you want a quick way to get a sunburn and to test your heat tolerance, take images in 100 degree temperature on a reflective tarp, and you'll be there pretty quickly. This is a subsection of what we had. Primary tillers on the left. Again, you see the number of viable heads that we had coming off of these. These were marked in black. We did tape at Rowan. We did zip ties at Union County. Secondary tillers, healthy tillers in white. Again, a lot more heads viable there, as you can see. Flag leaf damage, where you barely had any viable heads, and then stem damage on the very right. Kind of hard to see in a cross section like this, but I wanted to show you kind of the scope and scale of what we're pulling out per variety per location. Looking at primary tillers, so this is just a random sampling of tillers, primary tillers, regardless of damage type. You're seeing about 3 viable heads out of 10. So we're getting a cross section of damage here, from stem damage to flag leaf damage to healthy tillers. Compare that to the same variety, and I look at your secondary tillers. Look at the number of viable heads you have on these secondary tillers compared to what you had on the primary. This variety is obviously going to rely on the secondary tillers for its yield at the end of the season. Look at a specific damage type. We'll get healthy tillers. You're looking at about 8 out of 10 that survived. Didn't see any stem damage, didn't see any flag leaf damage. Made it through that freeze event, did fine, contributed to yield at the end of the season. Now look at stem damage and think back to your cross-section of primary tillers that we looked at before. We saw 3 out of 10, right? Stem damage, we're seeing 3 out of 10 heads. Viable heads that are resulting from picking these out. And of course, as what would make sense, flag leaf damage is your worst type here. You've damaged the growing point. You're really, really affecting any kind of ability for that tiller to make a viable head. So we collected all those, took pictures, did the data analysis on it. All these are significant. So the bars themselves here, this is percent viable heads, healthy stem and flag. Obviously, healthy stems had a higher percentage of viable heads that survived, around 66%. Flag leaf had the highest damage, which makes sense because at the growing point, about 10% of viable heads survived. But look at your stems. Only about 24-25% of those were made viable heads. And that significance is not only in percent viable heads, but it's also in total number of kernels that were produced out of those samples that we got, and total thousand kernel weight. All three of those were significant, where stem was always an intermediate phenotype in those damages. And that makes sense. If you go back and we went back and looked at some other samples that we had pulled in other locations, we saw that there's some different head phenotyping when we had the stem damage. So on the left here, these are healthy stems, and these stems correspond to the head above them. So healthy stems, healthy head. On the right-hand side, you're seeing where we have damaged stems. And look at the heads above each of those damaged stems compared to the healthy stems on the left. You're seeing lighter colored heads. You're seeing some necrosis there. You're seeing a little bit of on-structure loss, not as healthy as a look as what you're seeing on the left-hand side. So it makes sense that stem is having an impact here on our total yield potential. Now, the data I showed you before took all of the results. So if we had a zero for a head, we had a zero for a kernel number, and we had a zero for a 1,000 kernel weight. And that's how we were able to run a balanced analysis on that. If we took those zeros out and we just asked the question of the heads that were produced, so if we had a head there, what is the impact of having stem damage on the heads that are there on its kernel production and its 1,000 kernel weight? And that's what this graph is looking at. On the blue, you've got kernel number. On the orange, you've got 1,000 kernel weight in grams. So we're going to, again, a healthy stem and flag. You're not really seeing, and we can't run analysis, can't run stats on this because it's not a balanced data set, and we don't have enough data there to really balance it. But what you're seeing trend-wise is that you're really not seeing you're seeing a little bit of a drop-off in kernel number from healthy to stem damage. And again, there's a definite drop-off once you get the flag damage. But look at healthy to stem as far as 1,000 kernel weight. You're really not seeing a big difference in the quality of the seed or the weight of the seed that are coming off those heads. So it's affecting the damage as far as a overall, but on the seed that is there, the stem damage is really not having a big impact, and it's probably because it's not damaged enough to really cause an impact on that seed production. We want to also look at this by variety. So are there any differences in variety by kernel number and 1,000 kernel weight? And there are. And what I wanted to do here, not necessarily looking at maturity, but let's look at yield levels. So on the top are the average yields between row end and union, so average row end and union, from highest to lowest on the right. Orange, you've got 1,000 kernel weight again. Blue, you've got total kernel number. You see we were able to get some significance on this, but look at the trend as we go from high yield to low yield in both your 1,000 kernel weight and your kernel number. So what we're seeing here, what we're seeing is a combination of effects going on. It's not all just dead flag leaves, it's not all just stem damage, but it's having an effect on that 1,000 kernel weight and kernel number and causing a corresponding effect on yield. So as a conclusion, stem damage as a result of freeze had a significant impact on production of viable heads and associated yield. That's a definite. The impact of stem damage on yield is not as significant as yield loss associated with dead flag leaves. It's an intermediate phenotype. On average, the stem damage does not impact 1,000 kernel weight of seed produced by viable heads. So if a head was produced, did it affect seed weight? It did not. But all freeze damage affects yield through reduction of viable heads and associated 1,000 kernel weight and kernel number, which is not surprising. I want to acknowledge our cooperators at Union County, Kyle Herring and Riley Bauckham, our ag agent down there, Jessica Morgan, Brad Graham, who runs the crop division at Piedmont Research Station, so that's our Rowan County location, and then Andrew Bauckham, who's now our research assistant, undergrads Jeremy Davis, Ian Fleming, and our grad student, Zeke Overbaugh. And with that, if I have time, I'll take any questions.
Yes, we do have time. 2 minutes for questions.
Yes.
The damage in on doesn't seem that if there was clear in your comparison that the stem damage on production on those blooms.
Yes.
But it doesn't seem to have had any impact on
correct. On average.
That's right. Yeah. Can you explain that? Why usually blooms are associated with some photosynthesis, extension of grain filling in wheat. So can you explain why those two didn't seem to match up?
Well, first of all, let's take in mind that we have a very limited data set that we're saying on average it's not affecting 1,000 kernel weight. So we're not really sure that that's not a significant impact there. It may still be. We don't have enough data. But we'll say if it's not on average, if it's not looking like it's having an impact, there may be enough green tissue to allow seed fill to still occur I mean, those pictures were taken right prior to full senescence, I want to say.
Right, so that was before dry end nodes were still green.
Right.
For the most part, green heads, they had just finished flowering.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, probably was an impact there that we're not capturing just because of our lower sampling. So, any other questions? Great, thank you.